We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Banks it in!
KC Johnson.
Come and get some of this.
Bulls basketball.
Whoa! Stop it!
Taking you inside the locker room with KC Johnson.
Oh, my goodness. Did you not get the memo?
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. KC Johnson does remarkable work with NBC Sports Chicago, their fine Bulls reporter. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. KC, good morning. How are you?
Morning, KC.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Well, I got to tell you, there's not a lot going on. And I wasn't surprised by that, because when you really sat down and thought through exactly what they were going to do or what they could do with the trade deadline, I mean, what did people expect? I understand there's, you know, angry Bulls fans, nothing changed. I get it. You know, maybe Denzel Valentine. Okay. I don't know. Maybe Thaddeus Young was talked about, but they made a move with the Knicks, so they weren't going to make a move for him. Talk about the Clippers. I don't know what deal was on the table that the Bulls somehow passed on and what they were supposed to do that they didn't get done. It's a difficult situation they're in, but I'm surprised at the level of vitriol.
Yeah, I hear you, Mully, and I think it's just because fans obviously are pretty fed up and tired with the losing and also this managerial regime. And, you know, John is basically saying similar stuff that he said before. So fans don't want to hear it. But, you know, obviously executives have to take a different view, a different approach than fans. And, I'm kind of on the side that you're talking about. I mean, unless you decide to reboot the rebuild, which they're clearly not at the point of doing yet, and trading Zach LaVine, there's not much you could do yesterday. You know, did they get offers for Lauri Markkanen? Yeah, and they were like, you know, back-end rotation players. You know, I mean, it's like the Bulls are in a wounded state right now, and so teams are circling like sharks to see if they can get a steal. And, you know, the Bulls just aren't in a position to do that. They're taking a more sober, long-term view and trying to get these guys healthy to see them on the court together.
KC, when we heard from John Paxson yesterday for about 10 minutes before the game, what did we learn about the organization's commitment and satisfaction with Lauri Markkanen? And I guess more interestingly, what did you learn about Lauri Markkanen's satisfaction and with the organization?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's clear that Lauri has expressed some frustration this season. You know, he said that publicly. You can only imagine he's saying that privately as well. And he's had a difficult season. I mean, he has not been used in the way that either he or I think the franchise thinks is best. His numbers are all down. He's now hurt. So it's been a trying season for Lauri. But what I heard from John Paxson, and also just with my knowledge of the marketing situation, is particularly from Paxson, I don't feel like he doubled down on marketing. I felt like he tripled down on him. He called him clearly a cornerstone of the franchise moving forward and, you know, a long-term commitment. So I know for a fact that from the Bulls end, they're going to try to enter into negotiations this summer for a rookie extension. And, you know, here's the thing. I mean, marketing can be dissatisfied or frustrated all he wants, which is, you know, true. If the Bulls offer him a nice deal this summer, he's not going anywhere. I mean, he's going to obviously take the long-term security and sign that. So, you know, the Bulls own his rights through 2021 outright and then own them in restricted free agency that summer. So they technically could lock him up to 2022, even if they don't reach a contract extension this summer. So, you know, to me, it's a story for another day. Right now, just get him back healthy, get him utilized differently, which John acknowledged needs to happen yesterday. Another big takeaway from that session. and hope that he's the player that he showed in the first two seasons rather than what he showed earlier this season.
KC, when we talk about these guys coming back, John mentioned that, and he included Otto Porter in this idea that they're going to get back to full strength and they'll have like a, I guess if they come back at the end of the month, they'll have like a 20-game run to the end of the season. We were talking about it earlier, and Espo said that he forgot Otto Porter was on the team. We really haven't seen him at all, and we really have no idea. Even earlier in the year when they weren't playing great with the core, he wasn't there. So what do we know, and how much different will that be, and what will the takeaway be?
Well, you have to hope that you get the Otto Porter that, you know, really, to me, solidified them as a two-way player at both ends last season when he first came over in that trade. I get fans rolling their eyes at this, but there was a 7-7 stretch when he first came over. Markkanen was having that incredible February. Porter was a big part of their steady play at that time. And to me, the big takeaway with Otto Porter Jr. is you've got a roster filled with a significant portion of one-way players, guys who are either good at offense or guys who are either good at defense. Otto Porter Jr. is good at both. He's not great or spectacular at either, but he's extremely solid at both. He's just one of those veteran glue guys, makes you better at both ends. He did not play well in his first 9 games before he suffered the small fracture in his foot. And, you know, he had just started to come into form right before the injury. And, you know, he's going to be important because, I think he solidifies him at both ends. And, you know, if you get everybody back, except maybe Chris Dunn, you've got a nice 2022 game window to kind of see what you have and all these guys together.
KC, yesterday the Knicks named Leon Rose the president of the basketball operations or whatever his title happens to be, former agent. And I got a kick out of hearing you reminisce about when Leon Rose represented Rick Brunson as his only client and used to call you at home. And you've known him a long time. And you have seen this sort of trend start to take hold in the NBA from Bob Myers to, you know, you look at the Pelinka with the Lakers and now the Knicks have gone that route. Should we get ready for speculation about Chicago-based Mark Bartlestein or B.J. Armstrong? What do you think of this trend and how realistic is it that these guys might, you know, other agents might get in the mix?
Well, here's what I think about the trend. I think what you're seeing, and we all know pro sports are trendy, right? So one guy team does it, it's a copycat league. Yep. You know, all pro sports are like that. So I do think you're going to see it, become widespread, but I certainly think you're going to see it happen here and there moving forward. And to me, what it says is this. We all know this, but this league is more and more about player empowerment and relationships with those players. Who better has those relationships than an agent? Then obviously they know the salary cap. They know the collective bargaining agreement backwards and forwards. Obviously they know the game because their job is to fit their clients in the right situations with teams. They have to know the entire league. I do think, you know, the difference between Bob Myers Pelinka and Rose is Bob Myers had kind of a year as the understudy before, and Pelinka did kind of too because Magic was there, but Magic was kind of a novice to the executive role as well. So Pelinka and Magic were kind of learning on the fly together. Leon looks like he'll be learning on the fly a little bit. He's a smart, incredibly, incredibly smart person, lawyer. My sense is he'll surround himself with some other smart people, and you know, I think an underrated story to the trade deadline, you know, the Knicks are awful and obviously a laughing stock, but they've started to stockpile a lot of first round draft picks. And you get a smart guy in there with some smart people around him, they've got an opportunity to you know, kind of recharge their rebuild here. But as far as speculation here in Chicago, I think it's a little early for that. I do think it's pretty well known that the Bulls are seriously contemplating some changes to their basketball operations structure this offseason. I'm fairly certain some of those will happen. I don't know how widespread or what shape or form they'll take, but, you know, it's certainly something to keep an eye on between now and then.
And KC, wasn't World Wide West going to bring LeBron to Chicago at one point? He's not.
Yeah, you know, one of those. Yeah. Yeah, one of those things. Yeah.
Yeah. So he'll bring LeBron to New York. I don't know. How does that work?
Yeah.
Okay, buddy. That is fascinating. I don't know what else to say.
Casey,
about
what is Adam McCoke's next act?
Man, that was crazy. It's just you want to celebrate the occasion because it's really was NBA history. For those who don't know, he scored 15 points in the fewest amount of playing time in NBA history in 5 minutes. And missed two free throws, or he would have 17 points in 5 minutes. So you wanted to celebrate it, and it obviously a neat moment for the kid, his first NBA points. His mom had just arrived from France that day to see it. I mean, it's kind of storybook, but I couldn't help kind of taking a cynical approach in my story because, to me, it was more of an indictment of how just lethargic and poorly they played getting down 27 to the Pelicans with your main guys. And I know you're banged up right now, but I saw a lot of Drew Holiday getting to the rim with no resistance and going full court through weaving through defenders. So you could hold it up as this awesome celebratory thing, which I did for one paragraph. And then I mostly use it to just skewer how bad the Bulls played. I mean, that was an inexcusable performance last night.
Yeah. It was really hard to watch. And I, there was a couple of times where you just, what are they doing? And Jim Boylan's running around. I mean, it was very difficult to watch, especially coming off the trade deadline. And you thought, I think a lot of eyes were on it because of Zion. So it is a rough one.
72 points in the first half.
Jeez.
Third time in the last 10 games. If I'm Chris Dunn's agent, I'm asking for a raise right now.
KC, thank you.
Thanks, KC.
All right, guys. Have a good show, man. Yeah. Take it easy.
That is KC Johnson.
Heck with that. If I'm Chris Dunn's agent, I'm looking for a promotion.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a job.
Yeah, there you go.
NBA front office.
Where are you at, Bulls fans? Are you done? Are you checking out? Did you think something dramatic, made up word, dramatic and drastic, was going to happen?
And what'd you think of Zion?
And Zion seemed a little flat because the game was flat.
There was not a whole lot of electricity. I guess maybe I expected more at tip off than I saw.
Yeah, I think we all did. Mully and Hahn, the score.
I said it earlier this year that we haven't played as well as we all hoped we would. And that was when, outside of Otto, we still had a fairly healthy roster. But now the injuries have really hit us, so we need to get those guys back and play. And, relevancy will depend on the growth of those guys. In particular, Lowry, Wendell, Kobe, Chandler. We're still in that position. And like I said, there's no quick solution to it when you're trying to develop players, and that's what we're trying to do.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the score. That's John Paxson talking after the trade deadline ended. He had a news conference. It was almost, I don't want to call it
somber,
ritualistic, but it was
obligatory.
Yes, it was a formality. You must have a news conference, even though there's really no news.
Well,
and why is there
courtesy?
No news? It was a professional courtesy. But I'm saying, I think what's interesting, it was almost like, the feast of the trade deadline, no deal or something.
Well,
it had a different feel to it. There's a solemnity to it that I wasn't
a solemnity,
expecting.
Somber, however you want to phrase it, but it's also him going in front of the microphones, knowing that what he says people are going to object to because they did nothing.
Yes.
And it's inactivity that people will rail against, and because it's just habit with the Bulls. You just have become remember how cynical things got to be around the Bears scene with before the 2018 resurgence and before the Matt Nagy kind of experience began. That's where the Bulls are.
Before the one winning season?
Yeah, before that one winning season, that glorious 12-4.
Ryan Pace's one winning season.
Right. So I think that, yesterday he said what was true. He said what I think everyone expected, but it still gave people another excuse and the latest opportunity to criticize
an
underperforming franchise.
I understand why people are upset. I understand.
I get it. Everybody gets it.
That you've heard this before, but,
Can I tell
God
you what bugged me more about yesterday?
Before. Give it to me.
What bugged me more about yesterday wasn't anything that was said before the game. It wasn't anything we saw necessarily from Zion or anything like that.
How bad they were?
Yeah, because it's one thing about being overmatched from a talent perspective. But the one thing this Bulls team cannot allow itself to do is to be outworked. And all the things about sports that you value and you're supposed to count on, if you listen to the head coach here, the spirit and soul guy, if you are actually reaching these guys, you're going to get efforts better than the one you saw in the first half last night when you gave up 72 points. Defense is not optional, and it shouldn't be with a team as limited as the Bulls are. And yet you see, as KC pointed out, the third time in the last 10 games, 70 points in the first half. Is that expecting too much to be better defensively than the Bulls have shown to be?
Well, again, defense is effort, as you say. So I don't think it's asking that much.
Okay, that's my meatball thought of the day.
That's
the
not
Bulls
a meatball
have got to
thought.
Try harder.
Yeah, that's a fair thought.
The try-hard Bulls have to try harder.
Let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Vaughn is on the road. Hey, Vaughn.
Good morning, Vaughn.
Hey, guys. Great show, as always. I got three quick points. Casey kind of alluded to it. The vitriol is the same bedtime story that John Paxson tells every time he gets on. Until basically, you know, until that one time when Parkins and McNeil kind of got in them, you know, the way they should have. The second point is they hire this meatball coach to instill all this toughness and all this crap and work ethic. And, you know, that's kind of what Tibbs did, except this guy's not the coach that Tibbs is. So it's like they keep going in this circle with no plan. Soft coach, hard coach. Soft coach, hard coach. The final thing is something you kind of said, Mully, yesterday. Well, we haven't got to see him. Well, and Danny said this at his show yesterday. This is a seventh seed at best with everybody healthy. Is that the goal? Is that what the reboot was all about, to be the seventh seed in the horrible East? You bring back Otto, you bring back Lowry. This team's not as good as the Pacers.
Yeah,
they're
no,
not
but
as
that,
good as
that,
Boston.
That
they're
was
not as
the
good
goal.
As Toronto.
That, fine, to answer the question, that was the goal. The goal was to become the seventh seed with a bullet, that you looked like you were going to get better and you were improving and you were the seventh seed, but you had some money and you were going to go get someone. Yes. Yeah. So the first step, believe it or not, is yes, to be the seventh seed.
Vaughn, are you still there?
No, he's gone.
Okay, so I often wonder when people call in and they text and they kind of they complain about what you're hearing from John Paxson is the same old, and how you're frustrated by what you hear from him because it's what you expect to hear from him. Number one, what did you expect him to say yesterday? Number two, what would you ask him if you had the opportunity to have him sit across from you?
What deal did they turn down that would have been franchise altering?
I get the frustration and I get the vitriol, his word, and I get the reaction to a team that, you know, needs to be better and has, you know, failed consistently. But I'm not sure where the answers are coming from, and I'm not sure what you want him to say. You want him to say, okay, we stink. We are going to, I don't know who's he going to hold more accountable. He, as Casey said, he doubled down on Lauri Markkanen. He said that Zach LaVine was having a terrific year, an all-star caliber year, and he supported his guy. And he said he's waiting for the core to get healthy. All those things aren't surprises, and all those things aren't going to satisfy anybody. But what was the alternative? What was the speech that you wanted to hear but didn't?
Well, give me the deal that they pay. I mean, again, let's talk about some names. What would change them and make them better? Yeah, I think, David, I think people, and you know what, the way the team played, maybe the team too, just wanted something to happen. Just change something. Move somebody out. Make it feel like there's going to be different. And that's what people are looking for. They're not looking for better necessarily. They're looking for different because this hasn't worked. And again, I don't know whether it'll work or not work. It's just and you know, Vaughn's probably right. Maybe they're a seven seed. Maybe they're the final seed. But that's better than being what they've been.
See, and the reaction from the text line, very predictable. We want him fired. He didn't say he was resigning. That's why they're upset. Okay, you know, they're
okay.
That must be it. They nothing short of a change in the front office is going to satisfy people at this stage. I think that's where we are with the Bulls basketball. Because I even think firing the coach, Jim Boylan, a guy who is a popular, you know, scapegoat, and understandably so, I'm not sure that would satisfy people because they would think, okay, who's going to be hiring the next coach?
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. Let's get to Espo with the scoreboard update. We'll get back to your calls.
The last thing you want is for guys to, get comfortable in that environment. I know Zach has been frustrated. All of them have. You know, Thad gets frustrated as a vet, and we all are. But we just have to keep long-term in mind in terms of our young guys and how they get better and how they develop. That's going to be the key to our future.
Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. That's the voice of John Paxson. And he was talking yesterday after the trade deadline passed and the Bulls did not do anything. And we have a lot of people that are very upset about it. I mean, my God, the text line. I think Pax is getting sort of the Mully treatment. A lot of people don't like him.
He is. Kind of just chronic crankiness amongst Bulls fans.
Tech Zone brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com.
We'll get to the phones in a second. Yeah. The one thing that I wanted to just, when you talked about Zach LaVine being frustrated, that was the one thing, too, you came out of last night after the, you know, we had it was a blowout, and the score is not indicative of the way that game went, because Adam Makoka went crazy with 15 points in 5 minutes. Adam Makoka.
I mean, unbelievable. Did you know that guy was on the team until last night?
You know how I knew he was on the team, Dustin? Because Sunday, he was the reason Jim Boylan burnt a timeout, because he was in the game in Toronto.
See, it worked out. You see the instruction given.
See?
Got in the way of some guy from Canada's Super Bowl party. He's going to have poutine.
Coaching and development right there. Player development. But so Zach LaVine was still kind of ticked off last night, and he was the one who pointed out he's happy for Makoka, but they got their – yeah.
I'm happy the number stayed outside of five, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Everybody knows what you mean, Doug.
I mean, you guys want to call it that, you know. The game was over by then in my book. I don't know what we were cheering for. You know, I'm happy for Adam, but, you know, that game was over. We lost. You got an ass whooped.
Thank you, Zach LaVine.
Yeah,
good for Zach for saying that.
Good for him. It was a great story. His mom was over from France, and he's, you know, he's a young 22-year-old who might be able to hang on to an NBA roster spot.
But he's on the two-way contract with the G League.
Probably playing at Windy City Bulls tonight.
Yeah, right.
Might be in the starting lineup. So
that's pretty cool. Let's get to the phone lines. I mean, again, pretty cool, but I'm with you. Patrick is in the South Loop. Hey, Patrick.
Good morning, Patrick.
How's you guys going? I wanted to check in with you guys and see if I was at that press conference yesterday with Pax and just get their honest opinion about the job that they're doing. I think it might have been Kyle Lee or someone last summer asked essentially if they had job security, but we talk about not knowing what they have, but do they honestly think they've put the right pieces together? Do they honestly give themselves a decent grade going forward?
Well, I think that's a fair question. I think the answer would be similar to what you heard. I don't think they can – if you're talking about a grade, it would be incomplete, because they would think that the injuries have clouded the overall evaluation process.
Yeah, but after 2-3 years, you know, I mean, they've been doing this since Rose left. At some point, an incomplete's just not good enough, right? So, like, what would their grade be? Like, if we stuck them to it and had to give a number or a letter grade, I mean, what do they think they're doing?
It'd be low. It'd be very low.
Well, they're failing now.
Yeah, they would have to repeat the class, which apparently they've been doing.
Otto Porter Jr. has been here a year. He's played in 24 games. How many millions has he made in that time frame? Almost $1 million per game, if you want to do the math that way.
Jeez.
So that's, you know, that's embarrassing, and that's not good enough. So you look at it from that perspective, and they just have not been healthy enough to get a full evaluation of the kind of players they put together and tried to develop.
Let's try Justin. Justin's in Plainfield. Hey, Justin.
Hey, Justin.
Hey guys. You know, my only takeaway was Paxson from the very beginning. He said he had no comments to make. The first question was, why no moves? And he says, almost like flippantly, well, we weren't going to move Wendell, Zach, Laurie, or Kobe. So what were we going to do? And to me, that's the problem, right? Zach LaVine is the best player on an awful team. He'll never be the best or second best player on a championship team. So not trading him is an indictment. Like, they would have lost
for
more.
What? What was right, the offer that was out there that they passed on? I mean, what were you going to get for him?
Even if it's 65 cents on the dollar,
not having Zach LaVine helps you lose more games. And that may not be what people want to hear, but tanking gets you the draft pick. Look at Ja Morant in Memphis. They're better immediately because they got a superstar. And we're wallowing away at the end of the lottery every single year because we have grinders who just help us win games enough to keep us out of those top three picks every year.
Okay.
Thanks for the phone call.
I mean, is everyone ready for that to go back you to know what, the though? Strip down? And
they've lost four in a row. They're 15 games under 500. They're doing a pretty good job of losing without trying.
Trying to lose.
Yeah.
Wow.
So is this not the intentional tank? But they are very bad right now, and they're not playing any defense. And that's partly because they don't have a full roster, a healthy roster. But it's also because, you know, they're not willing defenders too often. And that's a big problem as well. And they have a coach that probably doesn't fit. And that's a bigger problem. Yeah, probably.
Probably.
See, to me, that's the issue that I think is hard to get past when you're looking at all the – we're trying to be fair and trying to look at this objectively and taking injuries into account. Jim Boylan makes too many – he does too many things that make you wonder.
Ted's in Berwyn. Morning, Ted.
Morning, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, morning, guys. Two things. One of the things on the – wanted to touch on the new GM trend. But first I'd like to – touch on the lack of movement during the trade deadline yesterday. Yeah. Detroit got rid of Andre Drummond for nothing. They got rid of Andre Drummond for a second round pick and I believe another ball player.
Uh-huh.
And the Bulls could have easily traded the person who we should be talking about trading, Lauri Markkanen, and a pick and a player if they want for Drummond and Rose.
You know, why did Drummond get traded?
He got traded because he's got 1 year left on his case.
Because his contract's up. And also, you know, I don't know if you're paying attention to the NBA, but it's not a center league anymore, right? I mean, look at what Houston did. They're down to like 6-7 guys, right? I don't think they have a center. They don't believe in it. So
Let me finish my point. That's not the end all of the deal. It's putting us in a position to be relevant, to have people of influence on our team. People wanted to come play with Derrick Rose, and he didn't even have to call them to say to come play with me because he was a person of influence. He was and still is one of the most respected ball players in the league. Now you're putting yourself in a position where a person like Anthony Davis from this city and Rose is from this city would take a look at coming here to play with his childhood idol and friend and Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose is 31 years old.
Let's switch on over a little bit to the GM. Pelinka had nothing to do with what's going on in L.A. right now. Not saying that he's not going to be a good GM, but he's not the person who brought LeBron James over. LeBron James went to Los Angeles because of the person of influence, who was Magic Johnson. And sat down in front of him.
I think he went to L.A. to be in the movies, right? I mean, I think it was part of his career plan.
No, he went because of the person of influence.
You think Derrick Rose
is going to do Shazam 3 or whatever?
You think Derrick Rose is going to lead to free agents flocking to Chicago?
Yeah,
come on, man.
He's
31 years old.
Yeah, so LeBron James went to Miami to do movies? No, the person of influence was there. Dwayne Wade and the GM. That's why he went.
Right.
The guys are moving around because they're moving with people who influence them.
Yeah.
And we don't have that. We have guys all around us from farm fields all throughout the Midwest who cannot influence a piece of chicken to come to the city. That's what the problem is.
All right. Well, there's two separate points there. You might be valid in the second point.
Ben. Yeah.
But the idea that you're going to get Andre Drummond and Derrick Rose, and that's a missed opportunity. Come on now.
No, that's not a missed opportunity.
Andre Drummond has a good team. He's going to be a free agent. Derrick Rose.
Derrick's going to be on 1 year deals for the rest of his career because of the injury concerns.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone's given Derrick like long term security.
And speaking
of
injury concerns, how many teams do you think are interested in talking about a trade for Lauri Markkanen when he's sitting out because he has a hip injury?
And I hate, Ted, to go back to the old story, but I'm pretty sure Derrick doesn't recruit. Don't you remember that whole thing?
Yeah, that's right.
I would not hire Derek to be my chief recruiter.
Man.
Wow. I understand what you're saying, okay? I understand. But the L.A. market, you know, the Lakers, the whole Tinseltown thing was an attraction to Kawhi. It was an attraction to people who are from there. It was an attraction to LeBron, to all those guys. It's a different animal altogether when you're talking about playing in L.A. I mean, are you telling me Anthony Davis wants to come to Chicago because Derrick Rose might be here? I just don't think that's how it works. And, you know, the other thing is, like I told you, when they were out trying to get LeBron to come here, you build a mock-up of the United Center, and you got a Michael Jordan statue, and then you put a LeBron statue next to it, and you tell him you can be regarded as the greatest player. You know, this is the last market for you to come to. You gotta use your history when you're trying to recruit these guys.
Bulls need a star. However they go about it, I don't think getting Derrick Rose to Chicago helps you attract a star because he's got a one-year commitment. I don't think Andre Drummond would have. I don't think getting rid of Zach LaVine for nothing just because it makes you worse and gets you closer to the draft lottery gets you closer to getting a star. I'm not sure what the method is, but that's what they're missing more than anything. And, you know, you can come up with all sorts of ways to try to do that. It is frustrating. I get the people's rancor and their vitriol and all those things. But the fact that they don't have a star is leading this as much as anything.
But it is fascinating to see what the Knicks did yesterday and to see what the trend has become in the NBA and to figure out if indeed this could happen with the Bulls. We're going to bring in Ryan McDonough. He, of course, NBA front office insider for Radio.com Sports. And we'll ask him about that trend. And we'll ask him what you learn from seeing this happen and how what attracts players. You know, why can't you get a free agent? Why is it that you're going to have to draft your way out of it or trade your way out of it? Is there other options? Is there a methodology of trying to attract players in a different way? And is that why teams are doing this? Ryan McDonough will join us next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.